Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're going to conclude our week together. We've been talking about the teaching of John the Apostle from his gospel, the beautiful teaching about, in the prologue, chapter 1, the story of our Lord, the grand story, kind of how he came and what John saw and what they saw and touched and what was revealed in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about this, and friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune in the programs this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs there or download them on whatever device works for you. The simplest way to access both this program, Sister Ann Shields' wonderful program, all the things we're producing at Renewal Ministries, our YouTube videos that have become very popular, and the things we're producing, the products we're producing, the TV shows, the rest of it, it's all there. Download it on the Renewal Ministries app at the App Store. You go to that and download it. You can listen to and take in what we're producing whenever it's convenient for you, so you don't have to listen just at a particular time of the day. Also, friends, subscribe to our YouTube page. I think it's really been growing the last year. It's wonderful to see. And if you have a chance, if you feel like you're being blessed by the ministry, if you can donate and support us in any way possible, that'd be great. So, and don't forget to download the Ave Maria app as well. Not only our programs, but many other are there. So what I wanted to do today is something I really haven't done very often on the program, which is I want to read a text to you. Why? I talked yesterday about how the contrast and what we're experiencing in the world and why at this moment there's two meta-narratives or grand stories that are being communicated about what are we facing, what does it mean to be human, where do we come from, why are we here, where are we going, two ultimate salvation stories, you might say. If you didn't have a chance to tune into it yesterday, I'd encourage you to go back, but it's a good thing to understand the situation we're in as we're here at the beginning of the church year. The church takes us through the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus every year. And it begins here in Advent. It's the beginning of the year. We're anticipating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We contemplate this fact, this historical fact, and this extraordinary mystery. It's changed absolutely everything. And here's where our story, maybe you can say our story began all the way at creation. Our story began, it certainly did. It began with Abraham and the patriarchs and the prophets, and it grew in its clarity. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, his Word, the truth, to communicate to us the fullness of the story of who we are, why we're here, and where we're going, and a participation in the life of God. Archbishop Gomez, the Archbishop of Los Angeles and President of the United States Bishops Conference, gave a talk in Spain, and then he gave a much shorter version of similar themes to all the bishops at their November conference last month. And I just want to read sections from it and help you. This is just a good moment to be able to see, okay, how do the bishops, or at least in this case, the president of the bishops' conference, how does he understand what's going on in the world? What's the challenge the church is facing right now? And how do we live out our story? And so he breaks it down in different ways. So I just want to read it to you. I hope this can be a blessing for you today. As he's speaking to a Catholic leaders meeting, a Congress in Spain, he's speaking to them on Zoom. He said, "You've asked me to address a serious, sensitive, and complicated topic, the rise of the new secular ideologies and movements for social change in the United States and the implications for the church. And of course, I think we all understand that what the church is facing in the United States is also happening in your country and the countries throughout Europe to different degrees and in different ways." He said, "With that understanding, I want to offer my reflections today in three parts. One, first, I want to talk about the wider context of the global movement of secularization and the de-Christianization and the impact of the pandemic. Second, I want to offer a spiritual interpretation of the new social justice and political identity movements in America. Finally, I want to suggest some evangelical priorities for the church as we confront realities of the present moment." So he begins with section one is on secularization and de-Christianization. This is quite interesting. So he's trying to read the signs of the times, friends. He's partly what we do on the program. What's happening spiritually? What is the Holy Spirit teaching us about the moment we're living through? What do we see and how do we interpret what we're experiencing and seeing? He said, I think we all know that while there are unique conditions in the United States, similar broad patterns of aggressive secularization have long been at work in Spain and elsewhere in Europe. Now, here's how he describes it. An elite leadership class has arisen in our countries that has little interest in religion and no real attachments to the nations they live in or to local traditions or cultures. This group, which is in charge of corporations, governments, universities, media, and the cultural and professional establishments, wants to establish what we might call a global civilization built on a consumer economy and guided by science, technology, humanitarian values, and technocratic ideas about organizing society. In this elite worldview, there's no need for old-fashioned belief systems and religions. In fact, as they see it, religion, especially Christianity, only gets in the way of the society they hope to build. That is important to remember. In practice, as our popes have pointed out, secularization means de-Christianization. For years now, there has been a deliberate effort in Europe and America to erase the Christian roots of society and to suppress any remaining Christian influences. In your program for this Congress, you allude to the cancel culture, political correctness, and we recognize that often what is being canceled and corrected are perspectives rooted in Christian beliefs about human life, the human person, about marriage, the family, and more. It's very interesting, isn't it? That's right on, friends. That's what's being canceled are fundamental things that God himself has created, and humanity and the powers that be are rejecting in an ever-increasing way. He continues, in your society and mine, the space that the church and believing Christians are permitted to occupy is shrinking. Church institutions and Christian-owned businesses are increasingly challenged and harassed. The same is true for Christians working in education, healthcare, government, and other sectors. Holding certain Christian beliefs is said to be a threat to the freedoms and even the safety of other groups in our society. One more point of context is we all notice the dramatic social changes in our societies with the coming of the coronavirus and the way our government authorities responded to the pandemic. I think history will look back and see that this pandemic did not change our societies as much as it accelerated trends and directions that were already at work. Goes on to say, social changes that might have taken decades to play out are now moving more rapidly in the wake of this disease and our society's responses. That is certainly true in the United States. The new social movements and ideologies that we are talking about today were being seeded and prepared for many years in our universities and cultural institutions. But with the tension and fear caused by the pandemic and social isolation, and with the killing of an unarmed black man by a white policeman and the protests that followed in our cities, these movements were fully unleashed in our society. The context is important in understanding our situation. The name George Floyd is known all over the world now. It's worldwide. But that is because the many people in my country, myself included, his tragedy became a stark reminder of racial and economic inequality. They are still deeply embedded in our society. We need to keep this reality of inequality in mind because these movements that we are talking about are part of a wider discussion, a discussion that is absolutely essential about how to build an American society that expands opportunities for everyone, no matter what color their skin is or where they come from or their economic status. With that, let's turn now to the next point. He said, here is my thesis. I believe the best way for the church to understand the new social religious movements is to understand them as pseudo-religions and even replacements and rivals to traditional Christian beliefs. With the breakdown of the Judeo-Christian worldview and the rise of secularism, political belief systems based on social justice and personal identity have come to fill the space that Christian belief and practice once occupied. Whatever we call these movements, social justice, wokeness, identity politics, intersectionality, successor ideology, they claim to offer what religion provides. They provide people with an explanation of events and conditions in the world. They offer a sense of meaning, a purpose for living, and the feeling of belonging to a community. Even more than that, like Christianity, these new movements tell their own story of salvation. To explain what I mean, let me try briefly to compare the Christian story with what we might call the woke story, the social justice story. The Christian story, with its simplest form, goes something like this. We're created in the image and likeness of God and called to a blessed life in union with Him and with our neighbors. Human life has a God-given telos and intention and direction. Through our sin, we are alienated from God and from one another, and we live in the shadow of death. But by God's mercy and his love for each of us, we are saved through the dying and rising of Jesus Christ. Jesus reconciles us to God and our neighbors and gives us the grace to be transformed in his image and calls us to follow him in faith, loving God our neighbor, working to build his kingdom on earth. He continues, that's the Christian story. We need to do that because there's another story out there today that is communicated to others. Live it and communicate it. A rival salvation narrative that we hear being told in the media and in our institutions by this new social justice movements. What we might call the woke story goes something like this. We cannot know where we came from, but we're aware that we have interests in common with those who share our skin color or our position in society. We're also painfully aware that our group is suffering and alienated through no fault of our own. The cause of our unhappiness is that we are victims of oppression by other groups in society. We are liberated and find redemption through our constant struggle against our oppressors by waging a battle for political and cultural power in the name of creating a society of equity. Clearly, this is a powerful and attractive narrative for millions of people in American society and in societies across the West. In fact, many of America's leading corporations, universities, and even public schools are actively promoting and teaching this vision. The story draws its strength from its simplicity. The world is divided into innocents and victims, allies and adversaries. But this narrative is also attractive because, as I said earlier, it responds to real human needs and suffering. People are hurting. They do feel discriminated against and excluded from opportunities in society. We should never forget this. Many of those who subscribe to these new movements and belief systems are motivated by noble intentions. They want to change conditions in society that deny men and women their rights and opportunities. And he goes on to say, obviously, how good this is and how important it is. But essentially, what he points to, he continues to talk about dimensions of the movements, which is interesting to think about. You can find this, friends, if you just Google Archbishop Gomez. It's on the Los Angeles Archdiocesan website. You can access this talk that he gave to Spain. So he fills that out more. But essentially, what he then calls us to do, what should we do? What is to be done? And fundamentally, as he said, is the answer is simple. We need to proclaim Jesus Christ boldly, creatively. We need to tell our story of salvation in a new way, with charity and confidence, without fear. This is the church's mission in every age and every cultural movement. We should not be intimidated by these religious and social justice movements and political identity. The gospel remains the most powerful force for social change that the world has ever seen. And the church has been anti-racist from the beginning, for example, and all are included in her message of salvation. So really, friends, it's a time of being faithful, and it should be this way constantly. From the time the Lord came, he began it. He bore witness. He was the faithful witness, Scripture says. Even to the point of death, he testified to the truth of who God is. This is why the church exists. The church doesn't exist to fix the world, right? Yes, the church wants to serve the people of the world, wants to love them, wants to provide for them, care for them, wants to do whatever we can to bring about peace. But we know in the end, the thing the church needs to bring, is called to bring, and power to bring, is the very life of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God, and to bear witness to this with everything we've got, living in truth and honesty and humility and kindness and mercy, to love our neighbor, even if people hate us and don't understand us and reject us. But we have to stand, friends, to be faithful to the end. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.